How to build self-confidence for overcoming, particularly for the student with learning disabilities. Vital topic, seldom taught, applies to everybody. Can't believe I haven't addressed it, but this might be the last word on learning disabilities. This is Overcoming Learning Problems, previously known as the Great Shalom Broadcast, where we talk about the fact that God wants total well-being for all children. We're here to encourage parents and educators who are helping children who have challenges. I'm Sharon Sarles. Let's get into our topic today. But first, do let me remind you that we have product on the website. You can go to www.overcominglearningproblems.org. Or you could go to greatshalom.org, whichever makes most sense to you, and click through and see the various products we have. We do have a couple of membership levels, and you get some really good goodies. You can be at the tribe level or the pride level. We are lioness moms. We're going to have the best life for our child because we're going to study and we're going to do our job as mom the best we can. And so you have two levels of information there. And I encourage you strongly to go to the website and avail yourself of those, sign up for those. And if you just want to get your toe in the water, just put your name in the form. And I will not avalanche you. I will not send you many emails. I'll send you right now we have an offer for our PDF 20 questions, how to sort out truth from falsehood in any situation. I'll send you that and a few announcements when we have something to announce. Okay, so come to the website and you can leave your comments on this episode. We have abandoned our Facebook and our Twitter. We do not support those platforms anymore, and we haven't, at this point in August of 2021, we haven't started any others. So come to the website and we can chat there if you like. Okay, on to our topic today, how to build self-confidence, helping our children to overcome particularly those challenges that they have with having a diagnosis of some sort of learning problem or whatever problem there is. Okay? Welcome back, everybody. So we are going to talk about how to build self-confidence, the kind of self-confidence that's needed for overcoming the challenges of life, and in particular of learning problems, a child who has learning problems. How do we help them? Because they need extra confidence and they have extra challenges. Well, you'll find that we've got some specific techniques that work for everybody. And I'm amazed that it's not more widely discussed because it is well ensconced in practice, in logic, in the Bible. And I'm surprised I haven't talked about it, but here goes. We're going to do it now. So how to build self-confidence in the LD student, which I don't like to say, the student who has some sort of learning problem, so they can overcome. So it's very important because so often students get many messages that they're stupid. And so it's tempting to give up. You know, all of us
are often tempted to become discouraged, and giving up seems to be the most comfortable solution, but you know it's not. You know, if in your world you're discouraged because you have bills to pay, would you just give up and pull the covers over your head? Of course not. That's only going to make matters worse. And it's the same thing for our students. For the LD students, particularly bad because they are bright. The very definition of a student with a learning disability is that they are bright, but they're having trouble in school. And so they have the cognition wherewith to become depressed. They have the cognition to compare themselves with their fellows who are not having the same challenges, and then conclude that they're stupid. And unfortunately, we have a lot of educators who are not very educated about the subject, and they will, for whatever reason, give off signals, if not literal words, that these children are stupid or not trying or whatever, when they may be trying very hard indeed. So it's very important that they be inoculated and have some definite techniques with which to meet the challenge. I mean, you wouldn't send a soldier out to fight a war without some armament, would you? So here we go. I'm going to give you some scriptures. Now, some of you are going to expect that, and some of you are going to go, what? Okay, well, just be patient. I'm going to give you some scriptures, and then we'll discuss how this applies. So three thoughts. One is, you are a new creature. Second is, you have the mind of Christ. And third, Christ resides in you. So often when we argue, the appropriate thing to say is, okay, what is your scripture for that? So I'm going to lead with that. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter and 16th verse. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And third thought, Christ resides in you, Colossians 1 and 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, meaning the non-Jews, which is Christ in you. So there is this great treasure, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So in kind of folk religion, you hear about Jesus is in my heart. And so this would be a good theological verse for that. Yes, Jesus can be in your heart. Literally, it's Christ, because Jesus as a person in a body lives in heaven, but Christ is in you, the hope of glory. So the simple fact and the theological treasure and glory is that when we become born again, when we commit our lives to Christ, we exchange our old sinful life for his life. And so we are a new creature. We are not the creature, the sinful, pitiful creature that we once were. And of course, I know your children are not. Nevertheless, we are a new creature. And when we are a new creature, and when Christ, you know, Jesus is in our heart, then we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. This may seem like some theology, but let me tell you, this is part of the technique. So it helps to have a basic understanding. So here is my technique. Don't say, I have a bad mind. Don't say, I am disabled. Because you're not. You're not disabled. You may not be able to do things in the way expected, but you can A, be healed of that miraculously. You can grow out of that. I grew out of my inability to really do math well. I worked and worked and worked, and thank goodness I was able to. Now, of course, I had some bad teaching along the way, yes. But in high school, thank goodness I was able to do individual progress. Otherwise, I would have failed Algebra 2. It just took me a long time, and I worked so hard, and I proved to my satisfaction that math did not make sense. I proved to my satisfaction that math did not make sense, that you could do the operations and get any number of answers. Problem was, I didn't understand the order of operations. But anyway, I had to face algebra again when I was in my late 20s. So I was in the Learning Skills Center at University of Texas at Austin most every day. And you know what? I was able to learn algebra. Why? Because my brain had changed. Because there was no one really teaching me. I learned how to learn from the book. So reading a math book is very different from reading a history book. I could read a history book fairly well. But even though I was very dyslexic, but I learned how to do math because my brain changed. And also, I still took my algebra independent study. So I got my credit for 1301 algebra in a correspondence course rather than in a 15-week course. So I had more weeks to do it. Okay, am I disabled? I learned differently. I'm not very good in math. Actually, haha. Anyway, I had the idea that I couldn't do math. But by standardized tests, I'm better than 85% of the population. Oh, okay. So, well, I would have failed math over and over and over again had I not had supportive school, okay, and a family that was oriented to academics, so I was willing to keep trying. But the point of this story is, in my 20s, my brain changes. Everybody's brain changes. You mature. But are you still applying that brain to academics in your 20s? Most people are not. But I went to college late, and there you have it. So never say, so this is the first of the technique. Well, I guess the first of the technique is know that you are a new creation. You have the mind of Christ, basic understanding, self-identity. Second is, never say that you have a bad mind. Never say that you have a bad mind, because there are lots of reasons why you don't have a bad mind. Many learning disabilities are school-induced problems. Others are simply different ways of learning. But even if that just is not your talent, I mean, I wasn't devastated that I couldn't learn math. I just did other things that I could do well, fine. Turns out later, when I wanted to study sociology, I needed to do statistics, and I learned statistics. And actually, I learned statistics pretty well. And so then when I was in courses with hotshot math guys, and we were studying SAS, which is a statistical software packages, I was outclassing them. Why? Because I understood how it worked. Instead of being lost in the math. But I understood enough about the math. So the point here is, never say you have a bad mind. Never say that. Never say, I have a bad mind. Never say, I am disabled. You may have a diagnosis because that's how the system works. But that's not your identity. That is not your identity. Let me say that again. That is not your identity. That's not, I have said over and over, diagnosis is not a death knell. A diagnosis should be direction to educators. It's not a death knell, and it is not an identity. So there's no such thing as being learning disabled, even though there are diagnoses of LD. Okay, never say I have a bad mind. Instead, say I have the mind of Christ. Say, I can figure this out. So you notice this. These scriptures, all things are passed away. So even if you have had literal cognitive trouble, you know, actual brain trouble, you can grow from that. Science even admits that now, that there is brain plasticity at all ages. So all things are passed away. behold, all things are become new. Like, look at this. We're talking about a miraculous God. God can raise up a man who has been dead 3 days and three nights, then he can help you think through something, okay? And who can instruct God? But we have the mind of Christ. So this puts this up very high level. We have the mind of Christ on the highest level of cognition, the conversation between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the riches of the glory of this mystery, and it's shed out to us. And who are we? But we have Christ within us. We accepted this grace by faith. So don't say you have a bad mind. Say you have the mind of Christ, and therefore I can figure this out. Therefore, I can figure this out. In fact, there's another scripture. I believe it is Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the Lord can show you many things in the word and through the spirit. Let's see, example from being shown something in the word. You know, when Columbus sailed the Blue in 1492, he found the rivers in the ocean. We call it the Gulf Stream. It was very convenient if you're sailing from Spain to Cuba to use the Gulf Stream. It takes you right there and quickly. And he probably was looking for the Gulf Stream because there is a scripture that says streams in the ocean. And he was familiar with people who read Hebrew. In fact, he was funded, not by Queen Isabella, but by her exchequer, who was a converso. Anyway, the Bible itself tells you, and the Spirit will tell you. Jonathan Shuttlesworth mocks the people who are terribly afraid of the Antichrist. He said, look, if the meth heads can elude the police, then why can't you with the mind of Christ? And for instance, if you're worried about contact tracers, then how about getting an app on your phone that scrambles your location? So that's Jonathan Shuttlesworth. And it's true that the Lord can give you lots of wisdom. Here's another example. I have a friend who never did well in school, doesn't come across as real bright, but he's cheerful and full of faith. And he was about 30-something and a homeowner. His wife was a teacher. His wife's family just was appalled because she married him and didn't do well in school. And so they were having their life, serving the church, etc. And their air conditioner broke. And he didn't have money to just call in a repairman. And so he was trying to fix the air conditioner. Well, he had no idea. I know now, no idea. So he looked at it and looked at it and looked at it, tinkered around with it, looked at it all day, and went to bed. But because he had such great faith, you know, he wasn't going to say I had a bad mind. He's going to say I have the mind of Christ, and the Lord's going to help me. That day, the air conditioner wasn't fixed. He went to bed, and he had a dream about how to fix the air conditioner. And he went, got up the next day, did what he dreamed, and there it was. The Lord helped him. The point is, don't say I have a bad mind. And teach your child that. And especially important when you have a child who's in school who may be getting these messages all the time. Oh, you don't have to do 10 questions for your test. Just 5 is enough. Well, okay, so how much, you know, if that's American history in the 5th grade, how much American history is he going to learn? Well, anyway, whatever the school rules, if you've got to put him in public school, or maybe he's taken out to resource room, and how are they treating him in resource room? I know I told you more than once about this guy was substituting, and he was this big 13-year-old in with these 9 and 10-year-olds, and he was taken out in resource room, and he was treated like he was retarded, and he did nothing in class. And I finally said, you know, I have you figured out. You're a whole lot smarter than you're making out to be. And for me, he worked. So I just felt so sorry for him, because whatever his problems were or were not, people treated him like he was stupid. So it's very important that you tell your children that they have a good mind. They have the mind of Christ. That's the best mind in the universe. And they can access it. And never say that you have a bad mind. Always say, I have the mind of Christ. Because saying is important. Proverbs 18 and 20 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So this is a scripture that people who talk about positive confessions want to point to. Because you could read that and say, hey, you talk to others, is going to influence your level of prosperity. And I think both interpretations are true. What you say is important. What you say to yourself is important. What you say to others is important. And there is certainly scientific proof that there is such a thing as self-fulfilling prophecies. My view on this is that that's the Adamic nature. So the nature that God gave Adam, the Adamic nature, even without supernatural, this makes sense. But if you add the supernatural, the hearing from God, from the all truth, all love, the universe, it's quite logical that you can be an overcomer. You can have good self-concept. You can be confident without being proud, because it's not resident in you. It's not like everybody else is trash and you're all that in a bag of chips. It's that God made you to prosper, to accomplish, to be successful in your calling. So you reflect God, who is truth and love and serviceful, and you're going to confess that. You're going to celebrate that. So different, such a contrast with the terrible, terrible self-esteem teachings and results that we have gotten. You know, I've lived through this because I do teacher training, as well as being a teacher in various environments, and I've seen that the self-esteem programs, particularly in the public school, have been counterproductive. They've inculcated a false pride and a discouragement. And Daniel Goleman and Martin
Seligman
have written about this scientifically and practically. And they say, of course, that children should be encouraged based on what they actually do and not on cheap boosterism. This is a step more than that. So I agree with that. But this is a step more. This is in terms of faith. Having a faith understanding of your self-concept and a faith understanding of how to overcome challenges. And I see so many children. I see children who are in elementary school who are working and trudging along, but who are becoming discouraged and depressed. So if you have a learning problem and you're bright, even in elementary school, you become depressed. Now, it's true that if you're depressed, you're not going to do well in school. But at elementary school, more often, it's the LD causing the depression, and it's not the depression is not diagnosed for years until the child is set in those ways. And it's very, very problematic. So if you look in the DSM, whatever we are, 5, 6, I don't know what level, but the DSM, it's a diagnostical and statistical manual that psychologists use. I think there's 5 criteria for diagnosing depression in an adult, but only 3 of those
are necessary for a diagnosis in a child. And so very often, depression in children goes unrecognized because they don't have all the same outworkings as an adult.
And so often the school counselors, and I put those in air quotes because they're not really counselors, or school psychologists, put that in air quotes, because they don't have PhDs in psychology, and they may not have a DSM-6 or whatever number we are at on their shelf. And so they are embedded, if not embroiled, in the system and dealing with children who have problems and families who have problems, and the school that has problems. And so often they miss the kind of causation from LD to depression. But this kind of faith would obviate all of that. I'm made in the image of God. I am saved, and therefore I'm a new creature. I have Christ within me, therefore I have the mind of Christ, therefore I can overcome anything, one way or another. I can be given a clever way around. I can find some miraculous special knowledge. I can be healed. I have a calling, and so I am gifted in X. So we don't need false pride, and we don't need discouragement. What we need is confidence, and speaking appropriately. Speaking faith in grace will overcome. Understand your identity and gifts in Christ. Never say, I have a bad mind. Never with your confession agree with the put downs of the enemy, Satan, and wherever it comes. And always make a good confession. And then you will find the solution. Your child will find the solution. All right? So, you're in the image of God. Yes, that image was marred and flawed, but it's redeemed now. Yes, you may have a challenge, but you can be healed. You can grow out of it, or miraculous healing. We believe in healing. Maybe you made a mistake, but it's forgiven. You're a new creature now. You're filled with the anointing, which is what Christ literally means. You're filled with Christ. You're appointed for a purpose, and you're empowered for overcoming. Amen? That's the Christian faith. That's how it can be applied in the case of learning disability. Hallelujah. Now, if you're not familiar with this, if you are not already a new creature, if you are not already raised in resurrection life, if you're not already filled with Holy Spirit, then let's get it done. So the Bible says that all you have to do is believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's accepting him as Savior, because if he could raise somebody who's been dead 3 days, then he could do whatever else to help you. He's Savior. Accept him as Savior. And confess him as Lord. Confess with your mouth. You see, this is part of the pattern. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's Romans, the 10th chapter and the 9th verse. So if you'd like more information about this, go to the website, look on the Help tab, and you will see a couple of audio episodes devoted to that. Receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. Hope this has helped you. Please come to the website at www.greatshalom.org or overcominglearningproblems.org. Okay? We'd love to have you there. Sign up and get our little PDF, 20 questions, how to sort out truth from falsehood in any situation, and look for our product. And making a new product as we speak, going to teach statistics for citizens and how to sort out truth from falsehood, because our children's safety really matters. People are paying attention, and yet our sheep without shepherd. So come back and we'll talk about that next time. Lord bless you. And this is Sharon Sarles saying that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come.
Folks, you can participate. Come to the website, make your comments. Also, please share. Notice I have quite a few more share buttons. We do not have to patronize those companies that have not served us well. And notice that we now have membership levels. So please check that out. Please run with us. Please be a lioness mother with us.